You are listening to BensTorah.com.
The questions I pose, number one, why was there a need for two miracles when it came to establishing the Yom of Hanukkah? The Nitzach and Melchama should have been sufficient. The war effort and the success in this war should have been sufficient, like it was for Purim and that war effort. Why do we need the miracle of the Nair of the Pach Shemen to be added to this for Hanukkah? Question number two, why is it that the minhag of Klal Yisrael is to have Hanukkah take place in the calendar year when Parshas Vayeshev and Miketz are read during those Zmanim, the days of Hanukkah? And question number three, what was the purpose of reading the narrative about Yosef's Nisayan when being seduced by the wife of Potipera? What's the purpose of that whole story? And what is the meaning of the expression that he was saved from this endeavor, as Rashi says, by seeing the Mustayukna Shalavah, seeing the image of his father? What does that do to add to the entire ability of his on his part to give him to withstand all the nisyonos being thrown upon him and to basically have the ability to save himself for any sin that's being posed to him, or the temptation of the sin at that moment in time? And I mentioned that Chassam Sofer deals with this last question, and in fact today's shiur is going to start with the Chassam Sofer and what it means that he was saved by the Demustayuk Nershal Aviv. So listen very carefully as I give you this information, set up the actual major principles of today's shiur, and answer all the other questions in the course of the time I have available to me. What the Chassam Sofer says is that when you see a Rashi like this, or a Maimon Chazal telling us that Yosef would have succumbed, but he saw the Mustayukna Shel Aviv, and that saved him. So the Chassam Sofer says, what does that mean? What do you mean, looking at a picture saves people from sin? The thousands or millions of people that see pictures of their forefathers or matriarchs of the family that are with tzaddikim, sidkanios, through thousands of years, and we don't find normally looking at a picture saves somebody from committing any averos. So what does it mean he saw the Demustayukna Shel Aviv? And furthermore, usually seeing a picture is not referred to as Demustayukna. We use a temuna, a picture, but Demustayukna, it's something that's quite obviously more intense than just seeing a plain picture. So the Chassam Sofer says, and we're starting with this, that what Yosef saw was not just the mere physical image of his father either on the wall or in his mind, but he saw the depth of the personality of Yaakov Avinu, and he was able to understand by being a very, very special child of Yaakov. He was a Ben Zakunim. Whatever Yaakov learned, even Yeshiva Shem behavior, he gave over in particular to his son Yosef. And he was able to understand how Yaakov was able to develop a connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on such a level that when he was faced with Nisyonos himself, especially when he was in the house of Lava for 22 years, to be able to withstand all of the processes that Lavan was throwing at him to attempt, as Chazal tell us, the Lavan Bikesh Lakar Sakol, he wanted to uproot all of the spiritual concepts that Yaakov believed in. He wanted to make him sin. He wanted him to become an idolater, to assimilate and acculturate into the culture that Lavan was involved with. But he didn't succeed. As Yaakov himself said upon return from the house of Lavan, "Im Lavan Garti, I live with Lavan. The Tayag Mitzvah Shemarti, and I observed all of the Tayag Mitzvahs. V'lo lamadtum and masim haroim, nothing that Lavan did to me had any spiritual impact on me, nor on my wives, his own daughters, nor on my children that were born in his household. We came back with total spiritual integrity, even though we were in that terrible environment for over 22 years. and exposed to the worst of the worst of the different decadent mores that were existing in society at that point in time. What was Yaakov's secret? What gave him the ability to maintain his steadfastness against all odds? So the Chasam Sofer says that the Demus Yukno Shel Aviv, the Hashkaf and ideology that Yaakov received, and that he received from his father Yitzchak, who in turn received this ideology and Hashkafa from Avram Avinu, this Hashkafa not only allowed Yaakov to be a tzaddik his entire life, it gave Yitzchak the ability to be a tzaddik his entire life, gave Avram the ability to be a tzaddik his entire life, and this concept, this ideology that allowed our others to survive and be different than the rest of society surrounding them all over the world, and to be paragons of spirituality, and be individuals who are able to withstand all the temptations that are in society at large, to maintain the monotheistic beliefs in Achdus Hashem and reject polytheism and idolatry, and the lifestyle of idolaters. What gave them the ability to do such? So Chasam Sofer says it goes back to the time of Avram's Bris Ben HaBesarim and the unique messages Hashem gave to Avram at that point in time, which became the theological, philosophical, hashkafic essence of what gave Avram the ability to survive and thrive and be a paragon of spiritual faith and belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu in every area you can possibly think of. I'm going to tell you now what the Bris Ben HaBesarim is and how that literally caused Avram and then Yitzhak and Yaakov and now Yosef to withstand all the temptations of society. What Hashem promised Avram and in turn all of Klal Yisrael in the future is that there are four things about you, Klal Yisrael, I want you to know. Since you're going to be my Am HaNivchar, my Am Segula, my chosen nation in the future, and Avram and his wife will be the progenitors, and then Yitzhak and Rivka will continue this, and ultimately Yaakov and his wives will continue this until Klal Yisrael, the Yubei Shvatim, come into existence and set the tone for Kabbalah Satera and thousands of years of Jewish existence going to the end of time. The four promises Hashem made to us is the following: that Klal Yisrael is going to have Hashem as their mogen, as their shield, which promises Klal Yisrael indestructibility in this world as a nation. Number two, this is very important. He promised Avram and all of Klal Yisrael that you will not live by the laws of natural law, of the laws of Teva. A Mazal Yisrael, we're not subject to the Mazalas, the normal natural laws of society. You're going to live L'mayla Miderech HaTeva. And the way you're able to supersede natural law, natural tendencies, natural weaknesses, is by saying to Hashem, I want to sanctify Hashem's name. I need Hashem's Siyata Deshmaya for me to withstand everything that's facing me, all the obstacles, supersede the weaknesses of natural society and natural law, and be able to be above natural law. Supernatural law should be the domain in which I function to accomplish all that I want in the spiritual domain, in my existence plane of living, existing in this world, b'chlal, allowing my children, Klal Yisrael, to continue to exist against all odds. I need your siyata d'shmaya, the promise of our not only our indestructibility, but ability to supersede natural law, everything that confronts us in every direction possible, in the spiritual, in the physical, in the political, whatever it is. We need that promise that we're going to be functioning l'mayla miderech hateva. The promise of getting ourselves our Jewish homeland at the end of time. And the realization that what's going to allow us to do such and live in a period of geula, of redemption, with all the promises of an erez avas, chalav davash, and the promises of Hashem giving us what we need to survive and live in this world, all those promises of the Torah. We need from you, Rabbeinu Shalom, the ability to have this Satya Deshmaya, to give us the ability to withstand everything and maintain our spiritual scrutiny, being meticulous in Torah v'mitzvahs, in hashkafes ha-Torah, through our entire existence. We rely upon you, Hashem, to help us, since that's our desire and the cheshik of our heart, to be a permanent kiddush Shem Shemayim for Hashem in this world as being the Am HaNivchar. This is the hashkafa that Avram took with him, and he survived all the nisyonos thrown at him. This is the hashkafa that Yitzhak took with him and survived all the nisyonos against him. This is the hashkafa that Yaakov took with him, and he survived all the major, major nisyonos that were posed against him. And Yosef HaTzadik realized that the Mustayukna, this hashkafa is Hashem, of being able to supersede all the various forms of natural that are basically causing us to have some obstacle preventing us from succeeding, doing the activity of fighting it, fighting natural law, overcoming natural law, and being Mekadesh Shem Hashem when we're still alive with a full breath of life and life to sanctify God's name as a living human being on the face of this earth. That was the hashkafa of the Demus Yukno of Yaakov, of Yitzhak, of Avram, based upon the hashkafa of the Bris Bein HaBesarim. The Chasam Sofer says, if Yosef survived the seduction of Eishes Potipera, what gave him the strength not to literally give in, throw in the towel? Why wasn't he worried about the potential destruction of himself? After all, she was married to the chief executioner of Egypt. If he did not acquiesce to do what she wanted, she would malign him in the eyes of her husband, as she did later on. Why wasn't he worried about his physical and spiritual survival? The answer is because he remembered the hashkafa that his father implanted in him from his early youth. And that is, if you follow the promise of the Bris Bein HaBesarim and all its component parts, Hashem will give you the Siyata Deshmaya to supersede all the Nisyonos and save yourself. In Bris Bein HaBesarim it says, Vayotze Asa Chus, Hashem took him outside to show Avram, you and Sarah Bederech Hateva, natural law, can have children together. But don't worry about it. I'm taking you Mechutz, I'm taking you outside natural law. And we deal with taking people outside natural law. And no, nothing has any impact upon you when it comes to the normal phenomenon of natural, including the mazalot. You will have a child with Sarah, which they ultimately did. That was the Yitzchak. L'malam iderech hateva. Natural law cannot prevent you from succeeding if God wants you to succeed. And that's what your heart's desire, to be mekadesh shem shemayim b'chayim. He gave him the concept of chutza. You'll survive if you say, Hashem, I want to Kaddish Hashemayim, give me the strength, God, to withstand what's being thrown at me. When Yosef survived, it says in the Torah, Vayonos Vayetze HaChutza. The Chasam Sofer, that's not just a haphazard expression. It's mentioned almost four times after the event took place. What is the meaning of that expression? Vayonos, a miracle took place that saved. That saved this Yosef. The word Vayonos almost means to flee. One of the roots of this is Vayonos. A nest took place when it came to Yosef. Vayetza Achutza. He followed the Hashkafa Michutz Miderech Hateva. Vayosef Michutza mentioned the Bris Bein HaBesarim. He realized Hashem would give him Siyata Shemayim to save himself, if that's what his Cheshik was, to Mekadesh Shem Shemayim. And that's exactly what happened. And the Torah records four times for us to hear clearly. Yosef not take credit by himself. It's Hashem gave him the Siyata Shemayim to live mechutz miderech hateva, not be subject to natural laws and tendencies, to yetzaharas, to withstand all temptations in society, physical and religious, and to be kadosh Shem Hashem bechayim. That's what Yosef was relying upon, the hashkafa of his forefathers, the Yukmer Shalaviv. That's what saved him. And that's the important lesson of what Yosef is teaching us in Parshas Vayeshev and Parshas Miketz. He became later on, through all the Nisyonos, the second most powerful man in the entire world, number two, next to Paro. That's a pretty big achievement. Despite all the Nisyonos he confronted, Hashem, when he wanted Yosef to have incredible imperial powers, later on that helped him save his mishpacha when they came down to Mitzrayim, set them up for an ultimate gula taking place at the end of the Gullus Mitzrayim. The gula was already set in place. Yosef had these powers because Hashem empowered him, because that was his desire when it comes to his lifestyle, to be able, technically speaking, to therefore ultimately have the ability and have the strength to therefore go against natural law, and therefore, as a result of going against natural law, to be able to succeed in everything he tried to do in this world when it came to his spiritual mission. The Chasam Sofer says, why is this lesson important? Because with this lesson of Yosef, we're now able to gauge and understand the nature of the miracle of Chanukah and why the Chashmonaim thought there was even a possibility on their part to fight a war against an adversary, the Seleucid Greek army, that were known to have conquered the actual world at that time. They were tremendous combatants in battle, conquered the kingdoms of the world. The Greeks were in control of most of the inhabited world at that point in time. And when they tried to capture Eretz, which they did, and wanted to instill the ideologies and concepts of the Greek philosophical system of Hellenism, eradicate Judaism, replace it with Hellenism. When they saw that threat, they wanted to contaminate the temple and make it into a pagan temple, sacrificing pigs and other non-kosher animals in the Makom HaMikdash, most holy place on the face of this earth. When they saw this terrible power trying to destroy Yiddishkeit, Shabbos, Bris Milah, everything that was holy to Jews, they said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we are your Kohanim, your spiritual servitors in the Beis HaMikdash, your spiritual representatives of Hashem in this world. Sifsei Koyim, the lips of the Kohen, Yishmeru Das, are the ones who show us how we're supposed to observe Torah and Mitzvot. The Torah of Akshmi Piyu, we're supposed to seek Torah direction from the Kohanim. And the Kohens are portrayed as Mal Hashem Tzavakosu. We're like angels, impervious to Yetzirah's human beings normally are subject to. We're acting like angelic entities above natural law. The Kohanim solicit HaKadosh Baruch with Tfilas, give us the Siyata Deshmaya. So if we want to fight these Hellenists, fight the Greek Empire, we want to overpower them and reinstill all the halachos of Kedushas HaMikdash, Taras HaMikdash. We want to have once again Shabbos and Bris Milah and all the mitzvahs of the Torah as part and parcel of entire Torah heritage taking place every day of the year. We don't want to be interrupted or stopped by a foreign power. They asked Hashem to give them success in the military endeavor to Mekadosh Shem Shamayim Bechayim, to save the Jewish people, to give us an eternal spiritual existence, a legacy, till the end of time. They realized that B'derech HaTeva, it was impossible. Rabim Yabiyatim, Chazokim given over to Chalosha, basically, to have a major army, professional army, be defeated by a guerrilla group who are not professional soldiers. To have weak soldiers, a guerrilla group, fight Chazakim, professional soldiers in an army that have been hardened with war and battle. B'derech HaTeva, that's impossible. But the Rabbeinu Shalom gave them the kayach to do such. He gave them the siyata d'shmaya to accomplish this because of the promise, Bris Bein HaBasarim, I'm the one who's your Mogein. You cannot be destroyed by the non-Jewish world, even though they might attempt physically or spiritually. You're going to be able to survive l'mala miderech hateva in the areas of physical existence, military accomplishments, spiritual accomplishments in this world. I'll give you abilities to supersede natural law. Polish any area that you're doing l'shem shemayim. When they saw what powered Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, and ultimately Yosef in this parsha, Vayonas Vayetza Achutza, they were sure to themselves Hashem would give them the siyata d'shmai they needed to defeat the Seleucid Greek army, get rid of them, re-sanctify the Beis HaMikdash, win the war, bring back all of Torah v'mitzvos to Klal Yisrael, and be able to continue their Avedas Hashem for years, centuries, until the end of time of the world in which we live at this point in time. That's what gave them the energy, the koyach, the Chasam Sefer says, to fight a mission impossible battle that they were basically confronting at this point in time. And the truth of the matter is, they succeeded. They were not Tzayach, the Seleucid Greek army. They kicked the Greeks out of Eretz Israel. They got rid of them from the Beis HaMikdash. They repurified the Beis HaMikdash. Built a brand new Mizbeach, built a brand new Menorah. Purified the place, as we're going to discuss very shortly. And they were able to return Torah v'mitzvah, Shabbos, and Kashris, Beris Milah, Reish Chodesh, all the things that the ultimate Seleucid Greek Empire wanted to abolish. It never succeeded. They were Menatzeach. And therefore, the Chasam Sofer says, that's why we read the Pashas Vayeshev and Miketz, because it teaches you the power of the brachos given in the Bris Bein HaBesarim. It shows you how even Yosef as a Yachid was able to overpower in many respects the Egyptian Empire, the most powerful kingdom on the face of this earth, and get influence one step lower than the king of Mitzrayim, Paro. Where is it heard of? Such a thing happens b'derech hateva in all of world history. A persecuted minority should then become the most powerful man in the world and in that empire. This is shloi b'derech hateva politically, ideologically, practically. But Yosef accomplished it. And that emboldened the Hashanayim to do the mission impossible and make it possible. Nothing's impossible for a man of faith who believes in Hashem and asks Hashem for Siyata Shemayim when he's doing things to Mekadesh Shem Shemayim. That's the connection between these parshios, Yosef's entire situation, and the Yontov HaChanukah from that level. Which now brings me to the next question. If they were Menatzeach in the Melchama, which was a Kiddush Hashem in his own right, and they did what I just mentioned, that should have been sufficient for the Yom Tov HaChanukah to be established. Why did we need a second miracle of the Pach Shemen lasting for 8 days, a continual Ner Tamid for 8 days, and only when 8 days were passed and they were able by that time to purify themselves with the waters of the Paradume and go to Mikvah, they can manufacture brand new Kashira, pure oil, from that point on? Why do we need that miracle? There's halacha tuma duchiyuti v'tzibur. In the Beis HaMikdash, we be makiv karbanos, or doing avodos that relate to the tzibur's avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. If tumas confront you, even tumas ames, the tumas nidches, pushed aside. It becomes permissible for us to do the avodah, even in a state of tuma. That oil itself, even if it was tamei, under such dire circumstances, according to Torah law, could have been used in this point of, unfortunately, of desecration, to use the tamei oil. It's permitted to be done when you're doing this for the tzibur. Lighting the menorah is part of the avodas tzibur. And by the time day 8 passed by, and they be tahar, they make brand new oil and use the kasher from that point on. Why do we need the miracle of the pach shemen? This is the kasha everybody asks. And the answer that's given,
you are listening,
is the
to
following.
BensTorah.com.
The fact of the matter is, they did not establish Hanukkah immediately, even after these two miracles. They waited 1 year, as the Gemara tells us in Shabbos, before they made us into a fixed Yom Tov Derabanan, which we celebrate every year at this point in time. What was the reason for this time of waiting? What's the purpose behind it? So Chazal tell us that the answer to this question is the following. The answer is that we know in world history, and we see even today, that when it comes to warfare, it's one thing when you're fighting a battle on a battlefield, an open battlefield, which was very common in that historical period of time. Both armies were arrayed, one against the other, and then they clashed, and whoever was more superior, bigger, more mighty, had better military tactics, basically won the entire battle. In a battle like that, the strong, the more powerful, the more numerous definitely win. But when it comes to guerrilla warfare, and we see that today, Afghanistan is a classical example, the Taliban, who are there, are not stronger than Russia. They're not stronger than the United States. But both of these major superpowers who thought they can conquer Afghanistan and get rid of all of these guerrilla fighters very easily made a calculated mistake. Both failed miserably. No matter how many years they were there, no matter how many sophisticated weapons they used, which the Taliban did have to fight the battle against them, guerrillas who are part of the natives of that territory, who know the terrain incredibly well, all the caves, all the underground areas, are able to outmaneuver a very sophisticated, more powerful army, even based upon natural law, when it comes to natural warfare, because this is not being fought on an open battlefield, it's being done clandestinely behind the scenes. Big armies can maneuver themselves like guerrillas can, and therefore we see guerrilla warfare undermining even the greatest empires on the face of this earth. In West Point, they teach this type of battle phenomenon to the cadets that are learning to become officers in the military in the future. In fact, the military officers there use Hanukkah as another raya that guerrilla warfare can overpower major empires, because this guerrilla warfare of the Hashmonaim overpowered the Seleucid Greek army, which is the most powerful one in the world at that point in time. There were many Jews who were believing in Hellenism or doubted over here whether this really was the manifestation when it comes to the Nitzachon of the Hashmonaim. Was this the hand of God or a brilliant military strategy of guerrilla warfare overpowering the most powerful armies on the face of this earth as we see today? The Rabban Yisholm did not want to have any sfeikas in the Jewish people's mind that this was a miracle from Hashem. Meis Hashem ha-yazazos, he niflos b'nein, as we say in Hallel. How did Hashem prove it, that this is in fact only possible, not because of the guerrilla warfare, but it's a nes coming directly with Hashem orchestrating the miracle behind the scenes, giving a miracle, l'mayla miderech hateva. How did Hashem prove it to them? So concerning this, comes along Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, and he says, I'm going to explain to you how the nes of the Pach Shemen that took place right afterwards in the Beis HaMikdash was a confirmation that the military victory, ultimately speaking, was Me'es Hashem HaYezos, a major miracle orchestrated by HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvodo u'b'atzmo on behalf of Klal Yisrael, because of the desires to Mekadosh Shem Shemayim and fulfill the mandates of the Bris Bein HaBesarim I alluded to before. So this is what Rav Chaim says. Rav Chaim says, I want to give you an insight of what the Pach Shemen's miracle was. And once you understand what the Pach Shemen's miracle was, when you understand the entire institution and phenomenon of that specific miracle, you will understand how that will shed light on the concept, ultimately speaking, of the Nitzach and Melchama as well. So listen carefully to what Rav Chaim says, and you'll see very shortly the brilliance of his statement and the answering of the other questions I posed last week, which I promised to answer today. What he says is, the Pach Shemen that they found had upon it labels which indicated it was never tampered with by the Seleucid Greeks. It was still pure olive oil. These packages of oil, when they were packaged like this, were meant to last one entire day for all the various parts of the menorah. There were 7 candles lit on the menorah on a daily basis. This all supplied all needed to accomplish the task of having this menorah light for one day, 24 hours. When they initially picked up this Pach Shemen, they thought, day one, we're going to be successful. We'll be able to have pure oil lit on the first day of retaking the Beis HaMikdash and rebuilding a brand new menorah. But from day 2 on until day 8, we might have to suffice with Tami Dikol, based upon the principle, Tum Medichuyi V'Hutra B'Tziv, as I mentioned before. Hashem performed a miracle, allowing this Pach Shemen, instead of lasting only for 24 hours, to last for a period of 24 hours times 8. So it would last for an entire 8 days, not just one day. And on day 8, by that time, they have a chance to pure now the Tahar, to produce brand new oil, which can then be used to light the menorah from this point on. That was the basic concept of the miracle. Oil that should only burn for one day in purity, burned for 8 days in purity. But now comes the crucial question, which Rav Chaim deals with. How did the miracle take place? And this is very important to know. Rav Chaim says, some wanted to say that miraculously what happened over here is the oil was used for that day and it started to burn down, all the way almost to the bottom, as it was meant to do. And by the next day when they came back where they thought they're going to have to use Talmudic oil, they found the menorah full of oil all the way to the top again. So Rav Chaim says, if that's the definition of what happened over here, that can be how they lit the menorah. Why? Because we have a principle based upon a Kabbalah we have in Teirah Shel Baal Peh, mentioned by Chazal in various places in Tanakh and such, that mitzvahs of the Torah cannot be performed with objects that were created through divine miracles. A miraculous phenomenon, which in this case, miracles, l'mayla mederech hateva, are not able to be used for miraculous phenomenon, are not able to be used for the performance of regular mitzvahs. That's the principle. They're not subject to mitzvahs. And if that's the case, once the oil was used up, even if it miraculously duplicates itself on day 2 and 3 and 4, that's miracle oil. Miracle oil can't be used to light a menorah. You need oil that's produced in natural law mechanisms. B'derech HaTeva. That's how Lachim performs the mitzvahs. So it couldn't be that way. How did the miracle take place? So says Rav Chaim, the Rabbeinu Shalom did not create for them any new oil, any miracle oil. All the oil that they found the first day was able to last for 8 days. So what do I mean when I say it's not miracle? Isn't that a miracle? The answer is that Rabbeinu Shalom changed the oil to burn from one day to 8 days, not in a miraculous way, but a way that's based upon natural law. And what do I mean by this? Every substance that has a capacity to burn has defined burn rates of how long it takes to burn to accomplish its burn and accomplish what it has to do in being destroyed or burnt or used for illumination, for fuel. There's a burn rate that's built into the actual substance itself, the actual oil. But we are chemically, in today's modern society, able to manipulate the burn rate of natural oil to burn differently, more efficiently, even using mechanisms contained in the natural law. We're not doing it in a miraculous way. We're using natural law and manipulating the burn rate of natural law to have objects that are fuel to burn longer, last longer, be more efficient by basically adjusting their burn rate using technologies available in every laboratory that deals with fuel in the world at large. This is a Derech HaTeva phenomenon. If scientists, chemists can do it in a laboratory, surely the Rabbeinu Shalom could do it in his divine laboratory. And therefore Hashem said they only have oil for 24 hours. I'm going to adjust the burn rate of this Shemen Zayas. It should burn more efficiently and therefore not be finished in 24 hours. But the burn rate is going to be so efficient that what would take normally 1 day to consume the oil, making the burn rate more efficient, it's not going to need as much oil per day to have a burn for 24 hours, to generate life for 24 hours. I'm going to make this specific oil so special in its burn rate capacity, b'derech hateva, that it'll use a minimum amount of oil each and every day, and it will burn 24 hours. Each day, only 1/8 of the oil will be used instead of all of the oil. So on day one, at the end of the day, 1/8 of the oil was consumed. On day two, they found 7/8 of the oil left. Another 1/8 was used. Each day, it went down by 1/8. So when it comes to day eight, there's still 1/8 of the oil left, which burnt the entire day, giving them sufficient time to manufacture brand new oil, b'derech hateva. From that point on, that pure oil that was made by them, that therefore could be used to light the menorah b'tahara from that point on. When you're changing the actual burn rate of oil, which is done b'derech hateva, it's no longer miracle oil. It's oil that's been adjusted with its burn rate to burn more efficiently, to last longer. We do it with modern technology today, in all the laboratories I mentioned before. So Reb Chaim says, if that's the way the miracle took place, this is b'derech hateva, and that's how the oil lasted for 8 days. What is the term that Reb Chaim uses to define the actual, what we call the miracle, the pach shemen? He uses very interesting terms. He says, the echus, the quality of the oil, was misgaber, overpowered the kamus, the quantity of the oil. The miracle of the pach shemen was that echus, quality, can overpower quantity. The echus of the burn rate being adjusted in the oil, the echus, the quality, overpowered the quantity of the oil, which is limited to only 1 day, that it should be spread out over 8 days. That's how the miracle of the pach shemen took place. Echus, quality, overpowers quantity. Says Reb Chaim, if that's the miracle of the pach shemen, let's go now to the Al HaNisan that we recite on the Yom Tov HaChanukah, which we're going to recite in a couple days from now. When the actual Al HaNisan mentions the miracle, the military victory, which is the reason we say the Al HaNisan, and that's the reason we also say Halal on Chanukah, because some miracles of Nitzach Melchama, you say Halal, you say Al HaNisan. So if you look very carefully in the description of the military victory, it tells us that in the time of Matisyahu ben Yochanan Kohen Gadol, he's the Chashmonai and all his children, they opposed the Malchus Yavan HaRasha, the Seleucid Greek kingdom. And this kingdom wanted L'Hashkichem Teresecha, make us forget the Torah, La'avir M'chuk Eretz Anecha, that we should violate all the chukim, all the mitzvahs of the Torah, Shabbos, Bismillah, Yishchedesh, and everything else. What did Hashem do? Atah Barachamei HaRab, you Hashem, in your divine mercy, Amal Behisarasim, you help Klal Yisrael succeed in this milchama against their adversaries. Rav Tarivam Dantes Dinam, you gave them the capacity to overpower these Seleucid Greek armies, which were known to be incapable of being destroyed or beaten in milchama. They were known to be successful in all their major wars. Nakamtes Nikmasam, you wreaked the vengeance of the Jewish people against their adversaries. But listen now to the next part of the Al HaNisan. Masata Gibarim Biyad Chalashim. You gave a powerful army, the Seleucid army. They failed and they literally were destroyed by the Chalashim, the weak military guerrilla fighters that were made from Chashmonaim, Kohanim, that had no experience of fighting war. They were Chalashim, weak. Rabbi Miyad Miyatim, a mighty army, a big army, fighting a little band of a bunch of guerrilla fighters. This is a classical miracle
of Rabbim Yad Miyatim, of Chazokim Biyad Chaloshim. But now the Piyut who wrote Alanisim tells us how this was accomplished. What were the circumstances? Tameim Biyad Taharim, people that were Tameh spiritually, were given over to people who are Torah, the Kohanim. Rashaim Biyad Tzadikim, the Greek army that were Rashaim, wicked people, and everything you can think of, were given over and were Menatzeich, they were literally, were defeated by the Tzadikim, these Kohanim. Zeidim Biyad Oiskim Sarasek, those who refute the Torah, wanted to destroy the Torah, were destroyed by people who are learners of Torah, performers of the mitzvahs of the Torah. Hashem HaGadol Kadosh B'lamecha, this miracle caused a Kiddush Shem Shemayim. La'amachi Yisrael, Asisa, you did it for the Jewish people. Shua Gadol, a major salvation of Purkim Kayam Hazeh. Now what's the nature of this? The nature of this is, if you look at the expressions of the Tameim Biyad Taharim, Rishoyim Biyad Tzadikim, they have one thing in common. All of this tells you that the eichas of the Jews, their qualities of being tahorim, being tzadikim, being oiske seresecha, that quality of their desire to mekadesh shem shemayim, based upon the haftachos of the bris bein asur I mentioned before, allowed them to do the impossible. They were able to overcome the Eichas, in this case, the major hordes of Greek soldiers that were opposing them. Rabbim Yad Miyatim. An impossible feat. But if you take into consideration the Bris Bei Som Haftachos, what we can do with Kiddush Shem Shemayim, and doing things with Hashem's help, with Siyata Deshmaya, L'malim Yederech HaTeva, we now see how the Eichos of the Jews who fought the battle, their spiritual superior status overcame their weakness in numbers and overpowered the Eichus, the many, many numerous numbers, above the numbers of military experts and professional soldiers of the Seleucid Greek army. Therefore, you have the miracle of the Nitzachim Lachama being defined also as Nitzachim of Eichus overpowering Kamus, quality overpowering quantity. Says Rav Chaim, the Ness of the Pachshimim, which is also a miracle of Eichos quality, overpowering quantity, taught the Jews how to reevaluate the Nitzach HaMelchama. The same way the Pachshimim miracle was quality overpowering quantity, which took place immediately after the war was over, the war that preceded also was quality overpowering quantity, Eichos overpowering Kamis. And therefore, it wasn't you as guerrilla fighters and your brilliance in strategy that caused success in the war. Natschum HaMelchama was, may Ace Hashem Hoyaznos, Hashem behind the scenes, facilitating their success. L'mayla m'derech ha-teva, to that which is a mission impossible under such circumstances. And Baruch Hashem, they succeeded. And the Kiddush Hashem was established, as I mentioned to you. And the purpose of the Chashmai fighting the fight to cause a Kiddush Shem Shemayim, to have a Tshuva Gedola and a Yeshua for Klal Yisrael to be able to rebuild and repurify the Beis HaMikdash and have once again the Kedusha Beis HaMikdash to be restored in all of its entirety and to be able to have all the mitzvahs be mekuyim once again, Shabbos, Bris Milah, Reish Chodesh, and everything else. Get rid of the crazy culture of the Seleucid Greeks, the Hellenism, eradicated. And rededakar Yisrael to Avedis Hashem and the Kedusha of Tara of HaTorah HaKedesha. That is what succeeded and let the Chashmonaim succeed in their mission. So the Nitzuach HaMelchama was clarified by the Pach Shemen. And without it, people could have misinterpreted this as a genius of military victories of a guerrilla warfare. That's why we needed two miracles of Chaim Soloveitchik, Zatzal says. The brilliance of his interpretation. So therefore, my ladies and gentlemen, we answered all the questions that I posed last week. The reason for the two miracles I just mentioned is the Pach Shemen miracle therefore clarified What was the miracle of the Nitzachim Milchama? The concept of Eichos, quality overpowering quantity, in all directions. Why do we have Chanukah itself delayed for a year to give people introspection time to see all of the elements that took place of the miracles at that time and correlate them? So by the time they came to the anniversary the next year, they saw the connection between the Pach Shemen miracle and the Yitzchak Milchama. Therefore, they made a yontiv of Halav HaHidah, because this was a major miracle when it comes to warfare and Jews' lives were saved physically and spiritually. For that, we recite Hallel. For that, we recite the Al HaNisim. Why we read the Pashas of Vayeshev and Miketz? Because it tells us the principle of what kept the Avos, Avraham, Yisrael, Yaakov, and then later on Yosef and Klai throughout the generations. What kept us going under all types of circumstances. Even though B'derech HaTeva, we should not survive, physically or spiritually. B'chol Dorodor, Oim Demaleinu Lechaloseinu, we say in Agada. That Kaddish Baruch Hu Matzei Leinu Miyadam. We don't have to go back years of antiquity to see the miracles. We live with miracles every day. The Klai exists in a very hostile world, full of anti-Semitism, to this very day. There's been an attempt by the non-Jewish anti-Semites, Halachi B'du Ha'esav Sa'esav Sanias Yaakov, to destroy us over the centuries. They tried it in Egypt. They tried it later when we tried to conquer Eretz Israel. They tried it through the Crusades. They tried it with the Spanish Inquisition. The Cossacks tried it later on in Russia. Rachman Lassan, the Holocaust. Germany and all its supporters joined together to try to eradicate Jewry, and ultimately they didn't see. They destroyed a major amount of Jews. But Jews lived on, Jews thrived. We had Kamas Medina after the Holocaust, and the Jewish number of Jews now that are in the world are more than those, Baruch Hashem, that ever existed before. We replaced all the Jews, Baruch Hashem, with brand new Jews that were born into Klal Yisrael over the years. Eretz Yisrael now is becoming a major repository of the Jewish nation, and people are making Aliyah continuously as a form of Kibbutz Galios. Miracles of what happened to HaKamas Dini from 1948 to the present shows you what it means to see miracles. Shaleva Derech HaTeva, Rabba Me'adniyatim, Six-Day War is an example. The War of 1948, when all of the Arab nations tried to destroy us, in 2 years they begged for an armistice. We were not safe them, even though we didn't have their fancy weapons or their armaments or their planes or their tanks. And we didn't have the numbers of soldiers that were fighting. We did the impossible. This is the Haftach Hashem gives us in the Bris Bein Abisarim. You'll live l'mailim in derech etav yesh le'achutza. When you're doing things l'shem shemayim, nothing can stop you. And that's the Musa Shmuz from Chanukah. Hashem is always there, watching our back and helping us. Whether it's an open miracle or a hidden miracle, nais nigla, nais nister, to make sure we succeed in our divine mission on the face of this earth, to be the Am Segula, the Am HaNivchar, and Or LaGoyim, and ultimately to Mekadosh Shem Hashem Barabim, where Chazal say, V'havta Shem Elokecha, Shei Shem Shemayim Eshav Yodech, that God's name should be beloved because of us, the way we conduct our life. Make Hashem's name known to the world, and make Hashem beloved to all the members of the world, and realize He's the only God, Achdus Habori. And we as His servants will be the ones, but people will see the Shem Hashem Nikra Lech, will see God's name upon us, the way we conduct our life spiritually. L'shem Shemayim Kiddush Hashem, Yoram Mecca. They'll develop an ability to fear God like we fear God. And forget about their Avodah Zarah or the other deities they create over thousands and thousands of years. This is the power of the Yom Tov Chanukah. When you light the candles, realize the actual Zikaron of what the Pach Shemen taught us, not only vis-a-vis the miracle of the Pach Shemen, but it taught us about the ability to win wars that are impossible to win, B'derech HaTeva. The Musa Shmuz are how we survive. The Haftachas of the Bris Bein HaBesarim. Of a similar banner, we're supposed to think of the Yukna Shah of Hasenu, their spiritual ideas and concepts our entire existence, Klal Yisrael, throughout thousands and thousands of years of the world's existence. Mice of a similar bun, Ramban, Rashi is saying Chumash. What they did is a symbol to us how to survive in a mission impossible in our existence against all odds. That's what we're fighting, a war now in this world. Begoli, besayis, openly and hiddenly. Hashem should give us the siyata d'shmayin, the schus of the Ner Chanukah, that we should be zocha mi'atz Hashem, to therefore do what is said in the Alanisim, to thank Hashem, Alanisim v'al purkim, al gluras, v'al chuas, al mechamos, she'asis la'avaseh b'yom ha'im v'zman hazeh. Not only should we see and praise Hashem for the miracles of the past, but it should also be b'zman hazeh, we should see continuation of these miracles in our time, to the end of time, in Bi'is Mashiach Tzidkenu, with all the nisim and the flows that Nevi'im are going to tell us, they're going to happen at that time, the Chazal say will be even bigger, greater, than all the major miracles of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Will she should be zochet to be able to see it, experience it, and see the ultimate Kiddush Shem Shemayim, where the whole world will come under Shechem Echad, under the tent of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, through the Hashpah of Klal Yisrael, teaching the world who HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, Hashem Hu Elokim. We're coming close. Things are happening now that are incomprehensible. Our biggest adversaries, the Middle East, want to make peace with us. The Abraham Accords. You think that's B'derech HaTeva? Impossible. But Hashem has a way of changing the heartstrings of the non-Jewish world any way He wants. Let's pray and hope and pray that the tefillos we pray on Chanukah and the Alanisim we recite in the Hallel will inspire us to continue our desire to Mekadosh Shem Shemayim, bring our ultimate Geul of Yeshua, and Bis Mitzitkeinu, Mashiach Tzitkeinu, bring Amen V'Amen, and Mitz Hashem will be Zochu to see miracles of Mashiachus very shortly.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.